AT&T wants to buy Time Warner for $85 billion. That would tie together a huge cable, satellite, and internet service provider with HBO, CNN, and Warner Brothers Studio. Critics across the political spectrum have questioned whether the deal would hinder competition. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik has another question. Does the deal make sense?
Why are AT&T and Time Warner taking the plunge? John Klein thinks he knows the answer. He was president of CNN US for 6 years, and he points to the financial headwinds facing both AT&T and Time Warner.
So it's a marriage driven by fear of the unknown and the hope that bigness can overcome ambiguity.
The chief executives of the two giant companies involved describe their logic more like this.
So we have unquestionably the broadest distribution platform for video in the United States and even in Latin America.
That's Randall Stephenson. He's the CEO of AT&T.
We have come to believe strongly that premium content always wins and is won in the living room where the TV set is, but that has also moved out to the mobile device.
Premium content such as HBO's hits and college basketball playoffs, but also shorter video bursts.
If you could put two companies together, one that has probably the best premium content in the industry and one that has the best premium content delivery system in the industry, put these two together, you can begin to innovate and iterate much faster.
Time Warner CEO Jeff Bukas says consumers could get custom-designed packages of video propelled by AT&T's next-generation technology. Stephenson and Bukas gave a joint interview to NPR earlier this week as part of their effort to win over the public, federal regulators, and skeptical investors. Craig Moffett is founder of the investment advising firm Moffett Nathanson. He's considered one of Wall Street's top analysts of the telecommunications industry.
When I poke at this, I can't really get anything tangible that says, here's what we will actually do differently because we own these assets. Here's what these assets will allow me to do to gain strategic advantage.
Moffett made these remarks on the podcast Full Disclosure with Robin Farzad.
The challenge, again, for AT&T is to try to make this something more than just a collection of assets under one umbrella, because that's diversification, not strategy.
AT&T's Stephenson told me he wants Time Warner to operate as it did under Bukas, with creative and journalistic independence from AT&T. While admirable, that also sounds more like diversification than strategy. But let's say the two companies truly do try to combine. Aya Leponen says it's tough to make such huge mergers work. She's a Cornell professor of applied economics who specializes in telecommunications.
There's a lot of sort of wishful thinking that goes into these kinds of deals, but in practice, they're really difficult to execute. And in most cases, the synergies that are assumed to be there, either they don't exist or they don't materialize.
And then there's this. In order to attract satellite and cable TV subscribers, AT&T will still have to offer channels from other media companies. Meanwhile, HBO, CNN, and other Time Warner channels will have to be available on AT&T's competitors, or profits will tank. So, while AT&T may have some marginal exclusive content for mobile subscribers, it could do so through partnership rather than purchase. So where's the big benefit to getting bigger? At a conference held by Business Insider in 2012, Bukas explained why he had decided to make Time Warner smaller.
You know, there's no advantage in our minds owning Warner, HBO, Turner, and Time Inc. Publishing to owning a cable company. It doesn't help us, we don't help them. So let's separate that and build scale in each of those businesses.
Eventually, Time Warner sold off its big cable TV system and then sold off Time Inc. Publishing and other big assets such as AOL, too. A short time later, Bukas is advocating the biggest corporate merger of the year. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.